call the Wednesday, May 20th, 2015 Taney County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. First item on our agenda is establishment of a quorum.
Okay. Sean Pingleton.
Present.
Tom Gideon called to let us know he wouldn't be here. Tony Mullen had called. Mark Weiss.
Present.
And Alan Lawson.
Present.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, I think right now what I'm going to do, it looks like we've got three folks that are up for public hearing tonight. Just to let you all know, we do have five members of the Board of Adjustment, and it takes three for a quorum, and of course three would have to be in agreement to vote. So we may have another person showing up tonight, and it's up to the option of each of you whether or not you'd like to hear it tonight or postpone it for a month, each individually. So... does anybody want to postpone? I just hate to waste anybody's time if they're sitting here. And so I thought I would just jump on that now. I just want to hear it tonight. Everybody okay with hearing it tonight? Okay. All right. Explanation of public hearing procedures.
Okay. I'd like to welcome you this evening to the May 20th, 2015 Board of Adjustment public hearing. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held for each variance or appeal request which is filed with the Planning Department. At this time, I wish to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. The Board of Adjustment bylaws is Exhibit D. And the Taney County Road Standards as Exhibit E for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report will be read for each variance request this evening, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment upon any of the requests, you must sign up here at the front of the room. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will therefore be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment Chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments or questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in attendance in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Okay, next item on our agenda is presentation of exhibits. No governing statutes. Okay. Governing statutes. Sorry. Statutes. One of you guys want to read that?
Sure. The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged that there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of county zoning regulations. 2, to hear and decide all matters referred to it on which it's required to determine under the zoning regulation adopted by the county commission as herein provided. 3, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege. To authorize upon appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships provided. The relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, we'll just go ahead and take care of that right now.
Sorry.
Now, presentation of exhibits. which the first one up is Nathan Burton, and Nathan's here. I see him. Right? Nathan, you're here? So we've got a representative. Okay.
Okay. This is case number 2015-3V. The request is Sam and Terry Burton, and it should say road variance request instead of setback variance request. The applicants are Sam and Terry Burton, and the representative is Nathan Burton. The property in question is the undeveloped portion of Paradise Shores Estates, and it's located at the end of Mountain Grove Road in Branson. And we'll zoom in on it here. It's located here. And this is located in the Scott Township, Section 5, Township 23, Range 20. The applicants are requesting a series of variances from the provisions of the Taney County Road Standards for the unplatted portion of Mountain Grove Road, so essentially this portion of the roadway, allowing for the platting of four additional lots within Paradise Shore Estates, with the road being developed in compliance with the road standards that were in place at the time of the original Division 3 permit approval. The background on this and site history: on May 16, 2005, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit 2005-18, which originally authorized Paradise Shores Estates. It was to be a 13-lot residential subdivision, but in reality it was actually to be a total of 11 lots with two utility lots or two well lots. This is the property in question that was to be Paradise Shores Estates. On January 18th, 2008, the final plat of Paradise Shores Estates Phase 1 was filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office, and basically it created Lot 1, Lot 2, and also a well lot. It further established a very small segment of the roadway in question, basically about 176, a little over 176 feet was platted as a part of that. Then on October 1st of 2008, Phase 2 was platted, and this essentially created three additional lots. The roadway in question is shown here. It was still not platted at that time because the access to these lots was to be provided, from my understanding, from Mountain Grove Road here. Basically, at that time, the developer did also dedicate 10 feet of deficient right-of-way along Mountain Grove Road as well.
And what did that bring the total right-of-way to?
I believe the right-of-way here is 50 with okay. The 10. Then on January 13th of 2010, there was an amended plat of Lot 7. And basically what that did is that created the second small well lot, and it just created a 20-foot ingress egress easement to the well lot. The thing that is interesting at that time, this plat references what it was referring to as an already platted 50-foot right-of-way, but the staff hasn't been able to locate a plat that actually, it doesn't appear that this right-of-way was actually platted for whatever reason, even though it's referenced on this amended plat. The applicants have indicated that they purchased the property in August of 2012, and it's essentially the undeveloped portion, unplatted portion of the property, and that they purchased it via sheriff's deed. And got a few views. We actually wanted to kind of show off. We have this is our new aerial photography for March of this year, and got a view from the north, south, the east, and the west. And we went ahead and threw the contour information on here. It's a little hard to see, but these are 10-foot contour intervals. The applicants, again, of course, are requesting a series of variances from the road standards, which would allow basically for the platting of the four additional lots, and they're requesting essentially to meet the requirements of the old road standards. In review, per the provisions of the subdivision regulations, basically any subdivision of land requiring road improvements requires the road improvements to be constructed in compliance with the Taney County road standards. Therefore, any subdivision plat that is filed with the Recorder of Deeds office requiring any type of road infrastructure, essentially after the adoption of the subdivision regulations in 2012, requires that the roadways are built in compliance with the road standards. The applicants are requesting a series of variances from the provisions of the road standards for the unplatted portion of Mountain Grove Road. We're looking at approximately 225, maybe 230 feet of roadway at the end of the cul-de-sac, essentially. The applicants are requesting that they be granted a variance, essentially allowing the road to be developed in compliance with the road standards that were in place at the time of that original Division 3 permit approval. Just to give a little history on this, too, the current Taney County road standards were adopted by the County Commission in July of 2009. However, for a period of time, there was also a separate set of road and access standards that were actually found as Appendix L in the Development Guidance Code. Unfortunately, those two sets of road standards actually did conflict, and so on July 19th of 2012, the road standards in the code book were essentially removed, and there's just a segment now that references the actual Taney County road standards. In this particular case, the road standards would view the subdivision as a high-density residential subdivision, and essentially any subdivision with lots smaller than a half acre, everything in the road standards really seems to, most of the requirements are based on lot size. And so if the lot sizes are smaller than a half acre, it looks upon it as being high-density residential. And with a high-density residential street, it's really calling for a 31-foot wide roadway. Now, that 31 feet is really measured from back a curb to back a curb. So in reality, the actual road surface, it's showing a measurement of 2 foot 6 inches for each curb. So essentially the surface width would be 26 feet. And here's another cross-section. This one's for asphalt. This one would be for concrete construction. The staff report for the original Division 3 permit states that the inner street shall consist of a 50-foot right-of-way with a 20-foot-wide paved surface with curb and gutter and a cul-de-sac. Table L9 of the road standards from that time period, however, they would have required basically a minimum road surface of 20 feet with the 50-foot wide surface. So the applicants, again, are requesting a variance that would allow them to complete the four lots under the road standards that were in place at the time. It is clear that the original development was proposed with a 20-foot wide paved surface with curb and gutter and a cul-de-sac turnaround. The roadway segment in question does contain a flat curb. The curb, however, would not meet the current standards. One thing I will bring up also, the road standards at the time actually just called for a minimum of a gravel surface, but I believe, and I'll let the applicant address this in more detail, but I believe the applicant is not requesting a variance from that. From the, I think it's primarily a width variance, and the applicants have indicated that they're seeking this variance due to the steep topography of the property, and also the location of the large retaining wall that's located within the road right away. The applicants have expressed that if the existing roadbed is expanded toward the retaining wall, public safety issues may be created. The second option would be to reduce the depth of the already small lots, which the applicants argue may cause home construction difficulties. The applicant surveyor has indicated that the current grade across the property for the four proposed lots is 16% or greater. He has further indicated that requiring the additional 6 feet of roadway width will cause this to increase and may render some of the lots extremely difficult to build on. The applicant, there is something in this that does speak to a requirement for sidewalks, but really per the road standard, sidewalks wouldn't be required. Randy Hayes, and I'll let Randy speak to this maybe in his own words, but he has really expressed concern with the construction of this current retaining wall. He's expressed that he's concerned that this wall may not have been constructed properly and may ultimately have to be reconstructed in order to ensure safety of the public. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board: approval of a 6-foot roadway width variance, allowing the remaining unplatted portion of Mountain Grove Road to be constructed with a road surface, including the curb and gutter, of 25 feet in width as measured from outside of curb to outside of curb. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Subdivision Regulations. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a brief video here. We just shot one essentially close to the area where this unplatted portion would begin, and we've done a quick 360.
Is that Benita with her fishing pole? That's what I thought.
And then we also just drove through the property basically to give a quick view. And the only portion of the roadway that's really in question is just this.
Where does that right-of-way go through there? I didn't see it on that power line right-of-way. Sorry.
I don't know. I need to look at that.
There's a dock below it.
Yeah. Okay. We have two people signed up to speak. We also have Randy Hayes in the audience tonight. We may have some questions for you, Randy, or if you have some comments, make sure you let us know. And I would think we would need to swear you in, too, just to make sure it's all sworn testimony. So the first person signed up to speak, I believe, is Terry Beck. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to wait to see.
Terry, what I need to do is I need to have you come up to the podium, and I'll swear you in, and then you can let me know where you live and all that stuff. So let's do this first. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now give me your name and your
Oh, my name is Terry Beck, B-E-C-K.
Okay.
And I'm not real sure what they're wanting. It seemed very vague to me as to what the variances they're asking for, and I would like to reserve the right to speak after Nathan
sure.
tells us what he's wanting.
Sure, that's not a problem. Know. A lot of times we'll have the applicant speak first, so
yes.
I should have brought him up first. So we'll do that,
okay.
And then we'll bring you back up.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Nathan Burton. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you are?
Nathan Burton.
All right. Tell us about your project.
Well, we've kind of inherited a mess is about the general gist of it. Like you said, we got it out of Sheriff's cell. And essentially what we're wanting to do is to try to just continue the project as far as the layout like it was started and just finish the lots and get them where they can be built on. We actually had someone approach us about wanting to buy one of them, is why it's come up now. And we're just trying to go, like Bob said, we're just kind of wanting to go back to the old standards when the subdivision was started in order to kind of get everything to fit the way it was started.
Okay, how big is the lot now?
The lot, the overall lot's a little over, or give or take an acre, isn't it?
Yeah, I just measured it out on Beacon, and like Nathan said, it comes out to like 1.2, 1.3 acres, but that's including the right-of-way area, too.
If I heard right or if I recall right, it was you're looking to split that into three lots. I'm trying to get as much information
sure.
as I can for Mr. Beck. So.
May I walk over to the
yes,
screen?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
The way the original plat, is this not going to record if I come over here? Am I okay?
No, it's fine, but there's a pointer.
Oh, is it up there? Okay.
This?
There we go.
It's got a couple different buttons on it.
Usually you can see it. It's
got me in the eyes. It was working.
There
it is. Okay. So the original plat, when he got it approved, had 9 lots on this side. There's 1, 2, 3 coming up this hillside, which was, I believe, the second plat filed. And then the first plat that was filed had 2 lots here. It was 1, 2, and this one right here that I'm on is the one that Terry Beck owns. And then the Bronsons own this house here. And then there was 1, 2, 3, 4 more lots that were designed as part of the original plat and the design that was approved through here for, I believe it was approved that way, to be built. And that's what Eddie Wolf shows as far as all the original diagrams and stuff like that. And so far, no one understands why Arthur didn't plat the rest of these. The only thing I can guess is I know he had to pave the road to get them platted, and my only guess was he just didn't have the money to pave all of it, so he didn't plat them all would be the only thing I can come up with. But anyway, so there's 4 more lots going up that hillside right there. And the current lot lines, man, it's just not wanting to cooperate.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The current lot.
Oops, sorry, I've got another one too that may help. Here we go.
Yeah, the current lot lines run right along the edge of that road. There is enough room there to do the 24 foot wide surface, but if we do 31 feet, we're either tearing everything out and going into that hillside considerably, or like he said, we're having to replat those lots, or not necessarily replat, but redesign the lots and make them smaller.
Okay.
So. And I know someone asked about that power line. All that power line, it comes down from up top up there. There you go. It comes down through here like this, and it goes 2 different directions. And it actually comes to a pole right here along, really close to one of the lot lines. And there's a line that crosses the lake that goes over to the old Freeland place over there. But I've talked with White River already about getting all that laid underground. And the only thing that'd be left is the one pole to go across the lake down there. But
they still have to have a right-of-way, though.
Yes, absolutely. But that right-of-way would stay, obviously, as far as going across the lake. They'd keep that right there along the lot lines. But then everything else would be set in along the road edge. underground.
Yes. Okay. Anything else to add before we see if we have any questions for you?
No, go ahead and okay. Go with questions.
Any questions? Yet.
Sewer is working, I take it.
The sewer is installed, and I'm going to have to pay someone to come out and run something down the lines and make sure it's all. There was some issues with it. It's been repaired once, and before we hook into it, we'll have to make sure everything's still up and going there. But yes, there is a sewer line installed on the backside, and it runs down to a lift station and up that hill. We would just have to do our own inspections of it before we put a house into it.
Is that one house on the sewer system?
It is. It is. Correct.
What about the condos?
The condos are on that same system.
They are as
correct.
Well, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see the other house there, too. So both of those.
Both those houses and the condos are all on that lift station down there.
Okay. Anything else right now?
I just want to make sure it's being maintained, the sewer system.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right now the condos are kind of in charge of spearheading all the maintenance and issue, and we've got an operator. The plant's actually up top. There's an operator that runs the plant and everything else, so, good. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else right now?
I'm about to hear Randy.
Okay. Do you want to wait to hear Randy, Terry, or
yes,
do you... Okay. Okay. Very good. Swear you into, Randy.
All right.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
My name is Randy Hayes. I'm the interim road and bridge administrator, and I have dealt with this project a few times in years past with the previous developer and then discussed it a little bit here with Bob Atchley. And I do have some concerns with the couple of the variances he's asking for. One of them, road width. He's not asking for a variance on right-of-way, is that correct?
That's not what I didn't understand. He was asking for a variance on right-of-way.
That's my understanding,
so
too.
And even the previous road standards required a 50-foot right-of-way.
Right.
So if the right-of-way is there, you've got ample room to construct the road per the road standards because the right-of-way is already existing. Or, I mean, if you do plat it, you have to plat the right-of-way. So if you're trying to increase lot size or vary the road width, you're using the right-of-way actually for part of the lots. I don't understand what the variance there. So there will be ample room to construct the road if he's got to do a 50-foot right-of-way because per the road standards, that's all it asks for. The other concern I have is the current wall. Part of it is failing already. It's not on the portion that's unplatted. It's actually on the first portion there where the arrow is. That part's already failing. So I'm questioning, you know, the construction of the wall. It may have to be reconstructed, and that's going to be an expense as part of the construction. He is correct in the topography with the existing platted lots, the three lots that were platted second. The reason for the retaining wall, which would be fine, if it was set closer to the right-of-way. That's not exactly where it was constructed. It's farther onto the right-of-way and pushing the road basically a little farther over. So they used up some ample room there. But and then I don't know how many lots that he plans to develop here, but there may be a requirement. I don't know that he has room to do four and meet the requirements. So, and it's not actually been platted yet, so. I don't know if he can actually do it per the original standards rather than the newly adopted.
Okay. Anything else to add right now?
Basically about it. I know most of it just wasn't really finished even under the original standards before the new ones were adopted.
Okay.
So,
any questions at this time?
Right. I do. Is there a county standard for a retaining wall?
Basically, there's not really a standard for it, but there are existing designs for freestanding walls of this type, and a lot of them are pre-engineered. Where you buy your material and stuff, they do have standards, and a lot of times they ask you to seek engineer guidance or approval if you're designing walls and putting them in.
But this one is failing. It's obviously failing. Is
yeah, I mean, you can actually see it's failing. It's starting to lean out. It's bulging. And that's due, and I don't know how it was actually constructed. I mean, part of it still looks fairly decent. But the one thing you've seen in the video, if you go back to the, that's not actually a curb that he installed there. It's more of a concrete gutter to work like a ditch. But as you can see, it only goes up a short portion of the hill, and then the rest of it's pretty much designed to be an open ditch that can actually undermine the bottom course of them blocks, because it's actually them should be set deeper in the ground to help protect that, but it could erode and if you get any heavy rains and whatnot. So that's the only reason I was kind of questioning the safety of the wall.
Is this a road that the county would snow maintain for snow?
If we take if they petition the road and we would take it in, yes, it would be one that would fall into our snow removal plan. Most roads that have houses on it would fall into that, unless we made an agreement that they do their own or for whatever reason. But
why do you feel it's failing? And I know it'd be a guess. I could think of two reasons. One, rain, and we've certainly had a lot of that over the last few years. The other is tree roots.
Part of the reason, because we have constructed similar type walls, and they require that certain heights you need to put in a grid in there, and the fill actually helps stabilize the wall. Plus, it also drainage behind the wall. If you don't provide the correct material behind the wall to help with the drainage, that will eventually make the wall fail. And we could see that in the first portion of the wall. I don't know if we'd seen it in his video, but it is bulging in one, and that may or may not be the reason. I mean, it requires a clean rock so the water, similar to a basement retaining wall, you put in a clean rock, you filter the water to the bottom, you drain it out. You do the same thing behind a wall similar to this, and that just helps. The blocks will interlock themselves, but when you get a certain height, different type height blocks, you put in a grid in behind it and then put more backfill, and that actually locks in and helps stabilize, kind of like a dead man. On other type walls, it helps support it.
I thought I saw pictures. Is there a red stain on that, or maybe it was just used as no rock, maybe just it, clay?
He may have just put dirt and fill behind. Some people do it, and that would be fine on a shorter wall where there's less prone for that, but when you have a bank and a wall of this size, and understandable, if you had to slope this back, yeah, you would take a lot of property away from lots and
I don't know that I've got.
And the retaining wall is not a bad idea if it's constructed properly, but the height of the wall right in there, that portion is still in fairly good shape. It's the first portion when you first come in on the road. You can see it start leaning outward, and they shouldn't. They should have a gradual lean back toward the bank.
Okay. Anything else?
I need a little clarification since this is our first road project. To make Randy happy, what's this project going to take to make the county happy road-wise?
All we ask is that they build it per the road standards. If they anything that's platted or adopted after the adoption of the road standards, that's the requirement.
So as per the current road standards?
Per the current road standards.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Mr. Beck?
I have no questions.
I'm sorry?
I said I have no objections to what they're asking for.
Okay. Thank you. So, one of the things, of course, we're really talking about road standards tonight and nothing else, but it's a little hard to understand what's going to happen with the lots when there's no proposed lot lines on there
Exactly.
To see that. So,
now, the lots will, you know, this roadway is going to have to fit within a within that 50-foot right-of-way.
Right.
And then all of the lots will have to be, they'll have to meet all the minimum standards. They'll have to be at least the 8,000 square feet and meet all the standards.
And, of course, to talk about Mark's concern, they would have to get some type of approval to make sure that the sewer is working properly. And okay.
We would require a sign off from the DNR.
Okay.
You know, indicating that it's got adequate capacity and that type of thing.
Okay. Nathan? Yeah, sure. We may have more questions for you anyway. We've got more questions for you anyway.
Oh, so. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
If I can, to the best of my knowledge, I'm going to try to cover some of the things we've talked about before we get anything new, because
okay.
I'm getting where my memory's short-lived. I'm pretty sure all the DNR stuff, and I'll have to go back and check, I'm pretty sure all the sign-offs have been done already. I know any of the concerns at this point are on my end, not necessarily on DNR's end. And then we can go back and address that. But I think all that's been done already.
And that's really more for our clarification, because
sure.
That'll be a staff's
sure, sure.
issue, because
yeah.
we're looking at the road. Okay. But I still was curious.
Okay. And I know we're talking about that wall. And so I'm going to say I didn't have anything to do with building it, so no one's going to hurt my feelings as far as that goes. I know I've had concerns of parts of it myself. But Bob, and I hope I don't throw you under the bus on this, but I know we've talked about that a little bit, and it was my understanding that the part in question, that first section where everyone is kind of concerned about it, that it really doesn't, that since it's already platted and already sold and already kind of done, that it really doesn't fall under, he kind of, to some extent, said it really isn't my responsibility. Now, I may be having to share responsibility with the other people out there because we all are there now, but as far as, you know, going on with the road, that the first section wouldn't necessarily be my responsibility to bring up to standards. And I
think that's correct.
That correct?
Although
okay.
I think what Mr. Hayes was referring to is that if the first portion of the wall has failed, his concern for the portion that you would be responsible for is likely to fail.
Oh,
is that,
gotcha.
Okay.
Well, and because I kind of heard him say that he really didn't have concerns about that.
Well, I think what he said was that it, just talk. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I think what he said was that. You know, it looks good today.
Sure.
But with what you see there, that causes him concern for the
yeah.
future.
Because I think that wall's been there for at least 7 years, something like that. It's been there for quite a while. And I know that drainage that he was talking about, he didn't think it went all the way. I know that drainage goes from the very bottom where there's a culvert across, and it doesn't go all the way along the length of the wall, but it does go all the way up to the very top of that cul-de-sac where it flattens out right there. So I think the intent is there, because I've had a road guy out there to look at doing the asphalt already, and he did want to keep that just because that would be a place to funnel. And like Randy said, you know, the road guy was in agreement that you don't want to not have that there because that carries the water without getting it where it'll undermine the wall, and that he would do the asphalt to drain it into that ditch there, that concrete ditch that was provided.
Okay.
Was the intent.
Anything else before we get to some questions?
No, go ahead and do questions.
All right. Mark?
I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay. Alan?
No. No, sir.
I think, you know, what I see that's of the biggest concern is Mr. Hayes already mentioned it, was where the actual wall, your portion of it, is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not constructed at the, it looks like to me, now I know those pictures can be a little off.
Yeah.
But it seems like it may be constructed a little bit inside the right of way.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Which, of course, that eats away at
yeah.
the other end. You're trying to meet that. So, okay. I don't have anything else right now. I just want to make
okay.
that comment. We'll discuss it. And
can I,
yes, Bob?
Can I clarify just one thing? When I wrote the proposed decision of record, I was basing this strictly on width. Are we seeking more than just the variance on the width? I mean, can
well,
you,
obviously the 50-foot right of way we're great with. I mean, we have no intention of trying to change anything like
but,
that.
But as far as the surface type, the surface
We do
depth.
Plan on going back with asphalt just because it is a steep hillside. We don't think anything else will hold up well, so we're not looking to do away with the asphalt or anything.
And
in fact, I think the old standard said chip and seal would even be okay, but on this, we weren't even looking to do that.
And I don't want to speak for Randy, but in speaking with Randy, I know he's looking at it as having curb and gutter that would meet the current standard. I didn't know.
At least the way I read this, the only variance we're looking at from our current road standards would be a width variance, period.
And that's the way I've written it at this point, but I guess I just want to confirm that's correct. I mean, that's what's being requested.
Yeah, and, you know, we made the improvements to that because there were some places where it wasn't up to par before.
Sure.
So, you know, so that's...
And I know one other thing I was kind of... I know it's what we keep talking about with everybody else and really didn't get brought up here is, you know, again, we're talking about four lots, and we're not talking about, you know, obviously when these codes are written, they're thinking of big subdivisions with small lots and tons of people and lots of traffic through there, and this is probably one of the exceptions where it's small lots, but it's only four. We're not talking about...
And I'm actually glad you brought that up because I was going to ask about the next parcel to the... I guess that's north, just past that cul-de-sac. Any of those will work, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Actually, I was going to find you one with all the lot lines.
Yeah, that land of the north right now, it's all getting fenced off for cattle. But my parents do own it. So.
Okay, but they could sell it tomorrow and somebody could subdivide it.
Yeah.
So access to that, if you had lakefront lots, would be through the current road that we're talking about right there, correct?
Access to the land north of it?
Yeah.
It's got the main county, or actually... and
I've been out there, but I haven't. Sure. I don't recall how steep that is right there.
Oh, let me see if I can do this again. Work. Anyway,
just throw it at it, see if you can hit it.
Yeah, darts.
So,
but if you go, you know, you can see where the cul-de-sac is, and you go out, and that main road right there, when you go up to the top to where that well lot's platted, mm-hmm. that's all a super steep hill. From that well lot all the way up to the pass where the screen, yeah, all through there, yeah. all that is completely flat. Every bit, I mean, it's just flat as can be. And then it slopes towards the lake this way. So the access would be more than likely top down. Because if you come off and around there, you're talking about coming down the road.
It's really the access would come.
So the access points for any lakefront property would more than likely be directly off of Mountain Grove Road up there.
And again, since I'm sworn, I'm going to have to preface this with saying, in my opinion, that's the best way to access is from the top down rather than going all the way down a hill and then back up a hill and trying to get back to stuff again. But the land, I mean, there's 200 acres there. It's all along that road right there, all along County Road. I'm guessing there's over a mile of road frontage.
Okay.
Sure. Yes.
I get what you're asking, I think. You do not plan to plat that lot with any access to the adjoining property that you were just discussing.
Oh, I hadn't even planned that far ahead.
You sell that lot to somebody else. So
the cul-de-sac will be the
cul-de-sac would be the end of that road because you plan on platting it and using that lot for somebody to...
Yeah, we do plan on...
their home or whatever.
Yeah, we hadn't even gone that far. But, yeah, there is a lot at the end of that cul-de-sac because... Is that what you're asking?
Yes,
there is a lot at the end of that cul-de-sac.
And not a roadway to the lot line.
Yeah, right now. Okay. Yeah, right now it's not drawn up like that, no.
Okay.
And I know the other thing, we were talking about road plows. I know the county maintenance actually ends, I don't know, what is it, a half mile? It ends way right there. You can see that section line come across?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the county maintenance actually ends. So there's already a whole bunch of, I mean, we're way, way, way away from anywhere. Up with county maintenance. I know that was asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when you add four houses, those people might petition for that.
Yeah, and I wish them luck.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. No more questions? You're done?
Right now, no more questions.
All right, thanks.
Any thoughts?
Well, I have one. And I understand some of the concern. We have a standard 26-foot. There's reasons for it, high density. But I don't view this as high density. Now that that's been clarified, I'm viewing it as four lots. And frankly, I don't see a huge benefit from going from 20 foot to 26 foot for four lots when you're just expanding it, you know, for four lots. It's like a funnel getting wider for no apparent reason. And the wall is where it's at, and I think there might be a little more safety issue of, you know, if there's ice there, especially if it's not being maintained, somebody going down that grade. I have been on the property, and there's some steepness there.
Are you looking to make a motion?
I'm prepared to. I just want to see if anybody else had comments. I'll make a motion to approve.
I saw Randy raise his hand. He might have something to say, if you want to hear him.
Sean's the chair.
Sure, absolutely. We do want to hear from our county road expert.
Leave this up here. That's basically the cross-sectioning of a typical road that would fit this application, and a couple of reasons for that width. Part of it is the curb and gutter takes care of the drainage. That's taking place of an open ditch, which part of this road currently has. And so there's a width difference. It also adds, with the smaller lots, you have more of a tendency of people parking on the road. It gives a little more width to provide at least parking on one side. We have that occasionally in many subdivisions, and that width pretty much coincides with the typical road. If you're all acquainted with Casey Road out here, that's the width you're looking at. That's a 31-foot back-to-back, back of curb to back of curb. And we put that in a narrower right-of-way. That's all we had to work with. We had to get additional right-of-way, but this gives you a little more ample room as far as right-of-way to construct a road of that type and still have a little bit of a buffer for various things, slope, depending on topography, hillsides, and that type of thing. But that's pretty much typical road standard and the reason for the width requirements. And different vehicles, bigger vehicles, trash trucks, school buses, that type of thing. So that's the reason for the standard widths and in different applications.
Would that affect the cul-de-sac portion of that, as far as when you say the trash trucks and the buses, it makes me think about a turnaround or ambulances.
Correct.
Or whatever.
That's the reason for the cul-de-sac on all dead-end roads. That's part of the requirement, and there is grade requirements for that, so you're not building a cul-de-sac on a hillside. There is a 4% grade requirement within the standards. The reason is you need an ample flat space to turn vehicles of that type or cars or any type of vehicle. Most of them are difficult to turn a big school bus around on some of these, but they do have room to maneuver to get turned around. So there's a reason for the width designs on these.
In your opinion, if that width was reduced 6 feet, how much would that hinder the turnaround of a large vehicle?
Well, the problem is you're not reducing the right-of-way, so I see no reason in reducing the width of the roadway. You're just increasing, you're leaving the right-of-way the same.
I think, I may be mistaken, but I'm thinking they've lost a portion of the right-of-way that exists of 50 feet because of that retaining wall. I'm not certain of that, but that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I understand that, but that also can that not be replatted or readjusted? I'm not sure if that's possible, or reconstruct the wall where it should be. I mean, the other problem runs into, if people petition these roads, we've got to work within what right-of-way is platted on these roads, or we have to seek additional right-of-way. Now, if something's on there and we take it in and that becomes a problem, then we take the road in, that becomes our problem. So then we have to do something at that time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it correct to say that the wall is in the wrong spot, that it could have been?
That's my impression.
And if we start from the wall and go towards the lake, there's what causes the lot problems,
right?
The topographical issue that Okay.
That's my impression. Would anybody disagree on that? Yeah, Nate, just because I haven't been out there, so I would.
Well, and I was going to kind of talk about one thing he said, and then I'll talk about this first, though. I mean, as far as, you know, if he nods his head yes, I would assume Randy would want to say that wall should have been built at the 50-foot right-of-way.
I think that's what he said.
So, I mean, I guess from that standpoint, I mean, if you're going to say, well, that wall wasn't built on the edge of the 50-foot, no, it's not. It is part of the reason. I mean, yeah, there is enough room to do that 20 or 24-foot wide, but there's not 31 feet between the edge of the wall and the edge of where that right-of-way should be, which is
going to drop off. 6 feet?
No, there's not. Not between where the – because there's pins set out there already. It's just not ever been platted. And there's utilities in there already. I mean, that's kind of where everything is right there on the edge of that. So, I mean, by moving that road out that way, you're going to kind of encroach into all that.
Which way?
Correct.
Uphill or downhill?
Downhill. Yeah, where they ran all the utilities that are existing is kind of out there. There's some water meter pits and stuff like that out there. But
moving the wall uphill
means moving the wall.
I know.
Yeah. But you're talking about probably blasting and everything else, too. I mean, you're not talking about just tearing down the wall and scooping a little bit. I mean, you're talking about a substantial undertaking. And, kind of along that, you know, I mean, I guess Randy would obviously argue it's necessary, but, you know, from my standpoint, you know, a 20-foot wide road surface is plenty of room for two vehicles to pass, whether it's a bus or a trash truck. That's actually wider than the county road out there.
Is the cul-de-sac, I mean, does it meet our standards? Randy, are you?
It's not been platted, so.
Okay.
And that was going to be my other thing I was going to talk about, is that cul-de-sac is flat. It's not on the slope. That part's actually been flattened out, and it's big enough to turn a bus around. And
I would think there's a good chance with four homes there will be a school child that will require a bus to come down there.
Sure. And I have no problem making sure that cul-de-sac's capable of turning a bus around. I think it is capable now, but I don't think that would be a bad thing to ensure.
Yeah, I think that would be our responsibility to make sure that we have that in there.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. I agree.
Okay. There may be more, but I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Before I make a motion, which I'm about to, I agree with the last comment of getting that school bus turnaround. If somebody would like to amend what I'm about to do. But I'd make a motion to approve case number 2015-0003V.
As presented with the staff recommendations?
As presented with staff recommendation, hoping somebody's going to come in behind me.
Okay. Do we have a second? There's nowhere else to look, Alan. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm about to say something. we're dealing with the problem from a sheriff's sale. And when... This is. I think we're going to have a lot more of these, and I'm sure there could be worse. But I will, as long as he meets the turnaround, I will second that motion.
We've got a motion and a second, and I would like to see an amendment. I would like to amend it to really all the only. Variance we're giving, and that it's clear, is a 6-foot roadway width variance. So really, everything else should be in there, including the turnaround already.
That's
correct.
Clear with your motion.
Yes, and I hate to ask this, but I wondered. I've got compliance with all our other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Subdivision Regulations. I thought I probably. I would probably recommend that we also add the Taney County Road Standards. Looking at this,
I would definitely add that to the amendment.
I have neglected.
When you're done with that, I'm going to make a.
I'll make sure the spacing is correct on the actual.
The clarity of the turnaround, or of the cul-de-sac. I want to be clear on how we handle that. but I also don't want to. The cul-de-sac needs to meet current road standards.
There you go. That'll make it clear.
Yeah. The cul-de-sac portion of the roadway.
And that's second one.
Okay, we'll do a roll call vote.
On the amendment?
On the amendment, yeah. Unless there's more discussion, any discussion? Okay, we've got an amendment and a second. So a roll call vote on the amendment. Alan?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Sean? Yes. Okay, it passes as recommended there with a few changes. So thank you for your time and comments, Randy. Thank you for your comments on that.
We passed the whole motion, I think, Sean. We just passed the amendment.
Oh, okay.
Bob, didn't we just pass the amendment?
I amended the motion, but we can,
yeah,
however he's got it down there.
Robert.
Thank you very much. Okay. Roll call vote on the a motion.
As amended.
As amended.
Yes.
Yes from Mark.
And yes from Sean. You were saying, I gotcha. Thank you very much. You were roll call and vote on the amendment and then the motion. Thank you.
Okay.
You got that, Benita? Okay. Okay, that's it for that one. We do have two more. The next one is Terry Gentle.
Can we have 1-2 minutes? I've got to grab one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You bet. We're going to break for a couple of minutes.
Think so. Is there anything we need Randy for on these next two?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if they're all making a stop, I'm going to go make one too. I've never done that.
It won't be that long. We all are.
Yeah. I've never. I was amending the motion.
That's
you got it.
That was so, that was fine.
That's how I was, but that's
yeah.
Fine. So that's what I was intending, but that works fine. So either way,
yeah.
Hard to go wrong when you vote too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. What we were looking for there, let him take his 6 foot down, and then
I think so.
Yeah. It's a happy medium. Otherwise, you got to tear the wall down. Which, if it would have been much further over, that's what I would have suggested. But. All right. Our next item up is Terry Gentle. We do have a representative here. You can have a seat for a minute if you want, Terry.
Sorry.
It's all right. He's got to do his, you know, all his stuff here. So if you want to go ahead and present that, Bob. Yeah.
This is case number 2015-4. The request is Terry and Judith Gentle, setback variance, and the applicants are Terry and Judith Gentle. The property is located at 2275 State Highway O, Branson, Missouri. And here's
Kizzy
the...
Mills.
Huh?
Kizzy Mills.
Oh, Kizzy Mills. I'm sorry. You're correct. I think I didn't get it. And it's in the Swan Township, Section 12, Township 23, Range 20. The applicants are requesting variances from Table 1, property line setbacks of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 50-foot front property line setback requirement and also the 10-foot rear property line setback requirement. In order to accommodate the placement of a new roof line, which will be extended, allowing for a porch slash deck areas on the existing single-family residence. And the applicants provided a drawing of the new roof line with the new porch area. Uh, And the subject property is an approximately 2.55-acre meets and bounds described parcel of land containing an existing residence which was constructed in 1957. Here's the existing residence, an existing carport, and also an accessory building that was constructed in 2014. The applicant has indicated that the property in question is bisected by a power line running parallel with State Highway O, and this has been in existence since the 1960s. On August 15th, 2012, the Board of Adjustment approved a 25-foot setback variance from the front property line adjoining State Highway O, basically allowing for the construction of the accessory building, which is now located 25 feet from the front property line. The subject property, of course, is a triangular-shaped meets and bounds parcel property. It does contain approximately 2.55 acres, and the property does front on State Highway O and is bisected by a 30-foot-wide White River Electric cooperative power line easement. And on this, we've got a view from the north, and here's the house in question. A view from the south, and then the east, and the west. In review on this, Section 7.1 of the Development Guidance Code requires measurements to the structure to be taken basically from whatever portion of the structure is closest to the property line. And so basically in this case, it is the roof overhang. Of course, it's an existing house, and they're essentially just changing the roof line on this. The applicants are requesting a 25-foot front setback, and in order to replace the roof or add a new roof line on this existing house. And they're also requesting a 5-foot rear setback variance. As I said, the existing residence was constructed in 1957, and long prior to the adoption of the Development Guidance Code. The current structure really already would not meet the existing setback requirements. This would be the location of the 50-foot setback in the front, and then the 10-foot in the back. The buildable space on this property is also greatly limited by both the shape, the triangular shape, and also by the power line easement that bisects the property. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 25 feet from the front property line adjoining State Highway O, allowing for the construction of a new roof whose overhang will be located approximately 25 feet from the front property line. Second, approval of a setback variance of 5 feet from the rear property line, allowing for the construction of the new roof whose overhang would be located approximately 5 feet from the rear property line. Third, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And fourth, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video here. This is the home in question.
Is that Highway O behind you?
And
is that face Highway O?
Okay. Yeah, and Highway O is here.
Okay.
And I think I And, of course, this is the structure a previous variance was granted, allowing for it to be placed where it was.
Okay. We have one person signed up to speak, and that is Terry Gentle. If you'd like to come on up, I'll swear you in, then you can give me your name.
All right.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And you are?
Terry Gentle.
Okay. Terry, tell us a little bit about your project.
Well, what we this was an inherited property from my in-laws, and we've taken care of it for until she passed. Now we're fixing to retire, and we're moving back to Missouri from Texas, and we're making preparations to update the house. The existing footprint will stay the same. It doesn't change, with the exception of some decks and overhang porches. We want to be able to, we originally were going to rebuild part of the walls in it and replace them, but we real quick found out that without a setback variance, we wouldn't be able to even put another footing in along the existing one. It's all stable, so we've decided to try to get the variance to put a complete new roof line and revamp the whole interior of the house and exterior.
Okay. Anything else to add?
Not really.
Okay.
Pretty cut and dry.
I've got a couple of questions on. The property to, I guess that would be to the east, I see that you access the outbuilding, the new building, from, it looks like, from another driveway. Is that right?
Yes, that driveway has been there for forever. We just improved it. It belongs to my son-in-law here.
Okay, so the property...
It was originally our property, but we deeded it to them a few years ago.
So the property directly to the east
does not belong to me.
Okay. But it belongs to the son-in-law?
Yes.
Okay. So at least for the 5-foot setback that we're looking at, that we're getting really close, there's not... The only road there is a driveway that goes to another home and the outbuilding on their property.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. And then on the other side, where we're looking at a 25-foot setback, would be basically the same setback as what we granted for the metal building?
Exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify, make sure I was right on that.
I was under the impression it transversed the whole side of the property, but I was affirmed.
Ah. Okay. What are the questions from Mr. Gentle?
I like your questions.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Satisfied.
Okay, I don't think we need.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Any other discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion that we approve case number 2015-0004V.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Okay, I'll call for a roll call vote. Alan?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Sean? Yes. Okay, it's passed. Thank you.
Is Kevin okay with this? Then moving back so close?
Oh. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, too late now. Too late now. Yeah. That's right.
He's had my building for a while. So
oh.
Yeah. Somebody needs to put that to use. Okay, we've got one more. Charles Hurst, and I assume that, Charles, you are the representative. Okay. So, do you want to go ahead with that?
Yeah, this is case number 15-5V. It's Charles and Denise Hurst, minimum lot size variance, and the applicant is Charles Hurst. This property is located, it's got two addresses. It's 472 State Highway M and 255 Ridge Road. And basically, it's in the Beaver Township, Section 30, Township 23, Range 18. The applicants are seeking a variance from Section 7, Table 3, minimum lot size requirement of the Development Guidance Code, and basically the same requirement within the subdivision regulations. which requires a 2-acre minimum lot size for properties not having access to public or central sewer. The subject property is approximately 2.6 acres and is known as Lot 9 of the Everly Survey. The property does currently contain two mobile homes. One of the residences is addressed off of Ridge Road, and the second residence is addressed off of State Highway M. The property in question also contains a detached garage or shop building. The applicants are wishing now to subdivide this 2.6 acre lot into essentially two lots. The applicants have indicated that they're seeking to subdivide this lot in order to allow for the refinance of the home. They've indicated that the mortgage company will not currently refinance this because it contains two residences. Like I said, the property is 2.6 acres, and per the provisions of the of both the code book and the subdivision regulations, it would call for 2 acres for each lot, essentially. And on this property, we've got a view from the north, south, east, and west. And like I said, the applicants have essentially indicated that they'd like to subdivide this lot basically right in half, where each lot is 1.3 acres via replat to allow for the refinance of the property. Again, they're stating that the mortgage company won't currently approve the refinance with the existence of the two residences. The applicants have basically also indicated that they really plan for nothing to physically change on the property. Each of the residences has its own individual septic system, and so they really don't have any intentions of anything physically changing on the property. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board: approval of a variance from the 2-acre minimum lot size requirement allowing for the replat of Lot 9, Everly Survey, into two approximately 1.3 acre lots, second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Subdivision Regulations. Three, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. And on this one, we did two pretty short videos. We did one basically of each residence on the property. This is the highway side. And then we've also shot just a very brief video of the Ridge Road side as well.
You know, all three of these, you guys are spending some close time by the lake. I'm surprised that I didn't see it. Yeah. I got some you can have. Okay. We have one person signed up to speak, and that is Charles Hurst. If you'd like to come on up, and we'll swear you in. And Mr. Hurst, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us your name.
Charles Hurst.
Okay.
And basically, I mean, he pretty much said everything that I was. When we first got the double wide, that's where I live at, is up there where that double wide's at. We were under the impression that they were going to, after our credit score was like 10 points below what it needed to be to get our interest rate down, we were under the impression that they were going to, once we met that point, we'd be able to refinance it without doing it. That was my dad's property at one, when we first got it, and we moved it on to his. And then we found out that wasn't going to work. So he wound up, deeding that over to us. And we tried to get it refinanced, and they won't refinance it with two homes on it. Me and my wife own both of all that now. And our plan is at some point to do away with the single wide mobile home anyway, once the guy that's renting it, you know, once he goes on, he's handicapped, so we pretty much don't want to do nothing to him at any point. We want to let him stay there because he's pretty comfortable there and he gets in and out really well. But once he decides to move out or go somewhere else, we're not going to do nothing with that. We're going to actually try to do away with the whole thing right there, except for the garage that's there.
Okay. But anything else? Sorry.
No. I mean, like he said earlier, we're not going to change nothing as far. I mean, we've already got two homes, two septics. I'm just needing to do that because basically I'm in a pretty well hardship situation with finances on this thing because I was under the impression I was going to be able to refinance it, and I haven't been able to. And they said the only thing that I'm needing to do is get that on its own lot, that house up there. So, and then they would be okay with that then.
Okay.
So, and that's all I have. I mean.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Hurst?
No.
So just to clarify, they're more or less going to split the lot 1.3 and 1.3.
That's right? My understanding. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Yep.
Any thoughts? A motion?
I'll make a motion to approve 201-5005B.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Okay, I'll go ahead. Mark?
I was just going to say I understand the hardship, and I see nothing to harm the public good here. So
I agree.
No, nothing's changing it.
Right. Okay.
I agree.
Okay, I'll call for a roll call vote then. Alan?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Sean is yes. So it's approved.
Thank you.
Thanks for your patience.
No problem.
Thanks.
We had three cases in a minute.
I know, it's been a while, and the first one was a lengthy one. Okay, the next thing on our agenda is the minutes of April 2015. They should be in your packet. If you've had an opportunity to look at those, I would entertain a motion.
Better be somebody that got them.
Then let's take a minute and just look at them and make sure that everything looks right. Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, no one opposed. Minutes pass. Old and new business. We have tentative down there. Is there anything, Bob, that...
Well, I was going to let the board know next month is going to be about the same. We've got a total of three requests. One's a road variance, one's an appeal, and the other one's a setback variance, I believe, too. So it'll be a similar evening.
Okay.
Similar number of cases. And
very good. What is the date of that?
June 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, June 17th.
I'll be here. I'll be on the beach the next week. But I'll be here. Put that on the record if you want. I'm not telling you. You guys might show up down there. Okay, nothing else to come before the board?
That's all I have.
I'm entertaining a motion to adjourn. We are adjourned.